chapter 1 in your scriptures. Doug and Shelley, thank you for taking care of Children's Church today. The work of the church. I started this out in the rain a couple weeks ago, and we're finally going to get to preach it today. I tell you what, now, the devil has really fought against this one. He tried to get me sick, and he did it. He accomplished it. But we won't blame it on him. We'll blame it on somebody, right? But now, I'll tell you what, listen, the work of the church, whenever I talk about that and ask you about the work of the church, we can scratch our heads and come up with a lot of different answers. But hopefully we'll see that through God's Word, what the work of the church. If you would, if you have your scriptures and stand to reverence the reading of God's Word, Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, to all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.' Now when they had spoken these things, while they watched, or while he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you from heaven, will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We pray for a few moments, God, as we preach your word, that you'll reveal to us the work of the church. Speak, Lord, because your servants are listening. And we'll give you the glory in Christ's name. And all God's people said, you may be seated. I was talking in Sunday school, and Wendell was teaching about respect in our class. Sandy and I have been watching the Olympics. How many of you have been watching the Olympics? Raise your hand. Yeah. I tell you, I said, what are we going to do when the Olympics go off? Because we've been watching, and they've been keeping me up too. Okay, them sessions that go on to 12 o'clock and stuff, that's just not, that bedtime's usually around 10, 10:30. I usually take a nap between 10 and 10:30 before I go to bed on the couch, yeah. But, you know, we see these athletes that compete, And think about 4 years before you get to do it again. And so they put 4 years of effort, some of them a lifetime of effort, into work so they could give their very best for their country and all these things. And just that focus of that work that goes in. And then to see it lived out in the gold medal and to see the American anthem. And you see some of them, even though they've been there many times on that podium, received gold medals, they still weep at the power of the moment. And I want you to know that's people that are focused, that are given the work. It takes work. Do you think that somebody could lay around on the couch for 4 years and then go out and run the triathlon? I saw the lady that won that first time America ever won. And she just wept and wept and wept and wept. And to see somebody, do you think that she could have just sat on the couch for 4 years and then went out and won that? It's a joke, isn't it? And we, a lot of times, we'll take and we think about these things and these efforts, and we never apply it to our spiritualness and our walk and our service to Christ. It takes effort. It takes work. Why? Is there not a cause? And when we saw that great video from Samaritan's Purse, is there not a cause? People are suffering. There's hurting around the world, but the greatest thing is people need Jesus. The gospel needs to go forth. The window of opportunity and grace is closing, folks. And so when we get to this part of Acts and we see about the work of the church, when you turn into Acts and you look at Luke's reading, we don't have to scratch our head and wonder, what is it that we're supposed to be doing or what we're supposed to be about? Acts comes right after the Gospels and for good order. Why? Because the Gospels was Jesus here and commissioning, and Acts is this living out this work, this order that Christ had given His disciples and to us vicariously, as we see this morning through the Scripture. And so one of the things that was mentioned, and I was looking at the survey, there's always surveys going on, that they said 7% of the Christian churches have true Orthodox belief. I want you to think about that. You say, what is Orthodox belief? They believe what the Scripture says and they live by it. 7%, folks. That's scary. That's scary. We live in a world. We live in America that says we just do religion however way that we want it. We have it our way. We just do whatever. It's buffet-style religion. Just whatever works for you. I guarantee you there's a lot of people sitting in this room today. This is what I believe. This is how I feel. Your feelings have nothing to do with it. It is thus says the Word of God. That's all we can always base it on. And so we've got to get back in America. Why is America, you've heard me say this, and I want to make sure and say it on Sunday morning. Why is America in the shape that she's in today? You can't point your finger at anybody but ourselves. It's the church's problem why it's got the way that it has, okay? Why? Because we are not living out the mandates of God's Word. We just pick and choose what we want. Acts, Luke, is a historical. He was a physician. How many of us are glad that physicians put in their time and effort? When you go to the doctor, you sure don't want him not, well, I don't really know what to do, but I'm going to cut open anyway. Right? I mean, seriously, we don't want that, do we? Luke was a physician. And so we see his meticulousness. We see it coming out in his historical writings and how he wanted to preserve and get it just right. We see it show up in the we narratives. He was a friend with Paul. He lived it out. He experienced it. This that we'll see in the Scripture. Man, he experienced it. So he recorded it for us. He wrote the first gospel to Theophilus. We don't know who Theophilus was. But he talks about old Theophilus like he probably a person of prominence. But I'm so glad that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he wrote these two letters. And we'll see that today. And he wants us to understand that, you know what, we live in an amazing time this morning. Please grasp that. This is you and me. What is it? It's the place between where Christ come upon this earth that gave his life on Calvary, that died, was resurrected again, and he's ascended up to heaven. But listen, he's coming back again. He's coming back. You live in that time space. What an exciting time of grace that we have. We live in that time, and Luke was living in that time, and so he's challenging us. And if we ever want to have purpose, if we want to have meaning in life, we can go to Acts and find that. In the book of Acts, we can find these things. And so I want us to look at this scripture today. And let's look at three categories of the work of the church. And first in verses 1 through 3 is, our mission is His mission. Listen to what the Word of God says. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up, after He through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Our mission is His mission. When we find out what life is about, it has substance when we base it in Christ. It gives us reason to get up in the morning. Why did we get up on the mornings? What is it that motivates us and drives us? We try to bring meaning to life. It's only till we become a Christian that we understand what true meaning is. As a lost person, 28 years I lived without Christ. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I did not grow up surrounded by the things of God. If you did, you should be very thankful for that, by the way. But I didn't grow up that way. And I tried. I tried to find meaning in life, searching for satisfaction. And what does that lead you to? Well, everything the world has to offer. What are you talking about? You try it in careers. You try to do your best. Make a bunch of money. You try to do it through relationships. You try to do it and then you'll turn to other things that the world has to have. Alcohol and drugs. And you don't understand really some of the choices that you're making, but you're trying to fill that void inside that only Christ can fill. If you're one of them people today, let me tell you, listen, I'm one of those people. You'll never fill the hole that the world is trying to stuff in there. You cannot. It's only a God-sized vacuum, and only Jesus can fill that hole. But let me tell you, when he fills it, he'll bring you satisfaction. I looked and searched for those things, and I never filled. You know what? Oh, you can have fun, but it don't last. And you lay down at night, and you wonder, what the world is this all life's about? Just going through the rhythms, being in debt, paying bills. Is that all? Eating meals? What are we going to have for supper tonight? Get excited about that. I'm serious. Is that all life's about? So much more than that, folks. God, he gives us a purpose. And so you'll feel unaccomplished without that substance, without that direction, without that focus. When Christ gets a hold of your life, you know what he'll do? He fulfills and he fills in that hole. And you have a purpose and a plan. And he'll change your life. Now, I didn't have any clue that I'd be your pastor, okay? Yeah, he's got a sense of humor, too. You can laugh. I didn't have a clue that that would be my mission in life. I did not when I got saved. But God has a plan for each and every one of you. Oh, don't get scared. It might not be a pastor. It might not be a missionary. But listen, we're all missionaries where he has planted us. We're all missionaries, so. The world, and the problem with the world, you know what? It doesn't know what its mission is. When you don't know what your mission is, you know what you'll do? You'll do a lot of bad things trying to fill that void, trying to figure out what life's about. The world doesn't know what its mission is. In verse 1, we see Jesus began both to do and to teach. He says, he himself in John chapter 17, his high priestly prayer, he says, as you sent me into the world, so I send them. I'm sending you into the world. That's what Jesus is saying. He's given us purpose. And what do? We demonstrate the gospel with our very lives. We are Christ's example. We are Christ's ambassadors. We represent him wherever he places us. And we're this continuation. Listen, Acts and the gospel of what Jesus started. We are the continuation of Jesus' work. Think about that for a minute. What a high calling. What a privilege. The continuation of the work of Christ. And we communicate Christ to the world. That's a high calling. But not only that, listen to what it says in verses 2 and 3. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, who he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was training the disciples about the kingdom. Now, we'll come back to that in a minute. Keep that in mind. He's training them about the kingdom of God. Understanding, you know what? The king was with them. He's getting ready to leave, but he's training them, trying to get them focused. We'll see that they didn't have a clue in just a minute. But he's training them. But what are you doing? He's commissioned them to the Great Commission, Matthew. It tells us to go out. Go you therefore. Doing what? Making disciples. What else? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That we'll do in here in just a few minutes. And teaching them all the way. And teaching them all my ways. This is what we're commissioned to do as the work of the church. I want you to know where Luke says here. This is not Santa Claus. Okay? This is not the Tooth Fairy. This is not Hollywood. This is true and actual. What did he say? Man, many proofs. The resurrected Christ came to them. This is an historical fact, by the way. You've heard me ask this before. How do you know Abraham Lincoln was a true person? You didn't see him, did you? That's 150 years ago. Did you know Abraham Lincoln? No. How do you know that he was ever alive? History records it. One of the greatest presidents we ever had. Same thing. Jesus, history records, the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God to let you know, listen, this is not only from God, but we can see it recorded in history that we don't need it. Why? Because we got the Scripture to tell us, but it is a historical fact. And old Luke saying, I want you guys to get this, all right? I want you to know this, Theophilus, that this was infallible proof that Jesus Christ walked this earth and he gave his life for all those that would accept him as a personal Savior. Our mission is his mission. He's teaching them what? Take my word. Go out and represent me. Our mission is his mission. Teaching them what? Go and do. That's what it said. Go and do. But not only is our mission his mission, our power is his power. Look at verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Our power is his power. And I want you to see something, a couple things about that power. His power is necessary, verses 4 and 5. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for what? The promise. You know what he's saying? You need this. You need this power. You've heard from me. He's saying, hey, that promise, Jesus had to ascend before the Holy Spirit came down to empower them. Before they even grasped what was going on, the Spirit had to come. Listen, if you do this mission on your own, you know what it is? It's mission impossible. Okay? We try to do the work of God on our own. It's mission impossible. Jesus said, wait. His power is necessary. His power is necessary to take out, to do the work. I can't help but when I think about Ezekiel in chapter 37, that old prophet of old, right? Chapter 37, you know what? God calls Ezekiel to come out and go preach. You know where he tells you to go preach? Valley of dry bones, a graveyard. He takes Ezekiel and says, go to this graveyard and preach. And you know what he asked him? He says, son of man, can these bones live? And you know what Ezekiel said? Oh, you know God. You know the answer to that. When we look at the situation, it's easy for us to say, no way God can ever do this. He said, you know God. And you know what he did? He started preaching, and what happened? Oh, it started rattling, and the bones come together. Said it formed a great army unto God. Listen, what man can't do, God can do. And you know, he breathed life into them. Listen, I want you to know something today. Preaching's hard enough as it is, but to get called to a graveyard, and then I realize, we are preaching to graveyards. He said, when we're dead in trespasses and sin, the lost world is a graveyard. God's called us to that. And sometimes I'm going to tell you, there's many people right here that thought, there's no way they'll ever get saved. I prayed to God many years and years and years, and he's just not saved. Listen, can God do it? He can save anybody. Don't you give up. He can bring to life that which was dead. You're looking at a dead man that was brought to life February 28, 1990. Praise God, he can bring the valley of dry bones to life. I want you to know, look, that his power accomplishes that power in us when we work through him. He said, but he has to come from him, verse 5, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He said, just wait. Wait for that promise. Not only is his power necessary, but I want you to see his power is purposeful. Listen, by the way, we're dependent on God for everything. Just like we need the power, just like we need his righteousness is applied to us for our salvation. His righteousness when we receive Christ is applied to our account for us to stand right with God. Listen, it's his power that we can do anything for him. We're totally dependent on God. Totally. Can't do anything without him. His power is necessary, but look, his power is purposeful. Look at 6 through 8. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Not only is that power necessary, but it's purposeful to be what? To be a witness. But listen, he had been teaching about the kingdom. Remember, I told you, remember that, verse 3. And so when they hear, we got the power. I couldn't help but think that. Look, we're getting the power now. Listen, we've been waiting on this. We're going to take it to them Romans. Yeah, that's what they thought. They had it all wrong. They're thinking world domination, conquering. Israel's going to be placed back in her place now. That's what they're thinking. That's why they were arguing right up to the last night that Jesus is crucified. Oh, we're going to be the greatest in heaven. Who's going to be the greatest? I am. No, I am. They had no clue about the kingdom. And so you can see there, and you can see what it was. But in verse 7, he straightens them out. Aren't you glad he's got grace? Does he ever straighten you out? He's wore me out last couple weeks by the woodshed. You ever been taken to the spiritual woodshed? Aren't you glad? He straightens them out. He's a God of grace, by the way. Don't you let something... Here's the deal, what devil will do. Satan will do this morning. He'll whoop you to death and tell you, oh, you can't do this. God's a God of grace. God will convict you, but you know what? He'll open the doors for you to get it right. He always does. He don't just beat us down, but he does it with grace. And so we see, you know what he did? He's trying, oh, guys, look, can't you see Jesus? I'm like, he's just scratching his head. Oh, my goodness. Please, Holy Spirit, come quick. I mean, serious. I got to go because these guys are not getting it. Look what he says. It's not for you to know. In other words, you're focusing on the wrong thing. How many times do we do that, by the way, of Christians? We get our focus off on the wrong thing. It's not for you to know. In fact, he says, set by my Father. Power is not for world conquest, but for worldwide witnessing. Hello? It's about testifying of the greatness of Christ here and around the world. He said, that's why the power's coming. Not to kick the Romans out, but to invite the Romans in. Hello? He said, you're called to be my witness. And witness is used 39 times in the book of Acts. Called to be my witness. You might ask yourself, what am I a witness of? Listen, if you've ever been on the court or sit on a case and you're of your peers, they call you to be a witness. And what is it? What you've seen, what you've heard, what you've experienced. Is that not what a witness is? You say, well, he's called me to be a witness. A witness of what? Listen, in Luke chapter 8, there was a guy living in the tombs, okay? He's called the Gadarene demoniac, remember? And what did he do? He ran around. He didn't have no clothes on. He did his own thing. Look, nobody told him what to do. The social convention was out the door. He did what he wanted. He ate what he wanted. Yes, he was full of demons and all these things, but that's what the modern man wants, okay? He also wants to wear what he wants to do. He wants to do what he wants to do. He don't want to be controlled by anything, and he thinks he's free. He's in bondage to sin. The greatest bondage that you can have is your own sin. And when you're not under, we'll see this, because you know what? Somebody shows up, don't they? Who is it? Jesus. He has an encounter with Jesus. And this man that they could not chain before it's over with, he's sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed, the scripture says, and in his right mind. Luke chapter 8, get a chance to read it. And you know what? It scares everybody to death. They come out sitting and go, you got to go. You got to leave, Jesus. Man, we just can't handle this. I'm serious. And you know what? Jesus, you want Jesus to leave? He'll leave. He's going to be where he's not welcome. He got in the boat to go, and that old Legion was his name. You know what he said? He wanted to go with Jesus. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Clothed in his right man, sitting at the feet of Jesus. To be truly free, he had to be in bonds to Jesus Christ. What are you in bonds to this morning? It's either to your sin or to Christ. There's only two, but there's no true free men sitting here. He wanted to go with Christ. Why? Because Christ had touched his life. And you know what Jesus told him to do? He said, no. He said, you go back home. Go back to your family and tell them about the mercy of God that's happened in your life. Have there been any mercy in your life? Any grace? Has God done anything for you? That's the witness he's called us to be. To go home to our family, where God's placed us. Our mission field is our surroundings. Our mission field is Todd in Watauga and Ashe County right here. But listen, he said it's just not going to stop there. It's everywhere that you go. And that word actually means martyr, that witness there. That word's where we get the word martyr. And every one of them would give their life for Christ, okay? He wants you to give your life for him. Tell your family. I love Acts 1:8 is really the thesis theme for the whole book. You say, what are you talking about? Well, he says, go to Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1 through 7 is their work in Jerusalem. Then he says, what? Go to Judea and Samaria. Well, Acts chapter 8 through 12 is Judea and Samaria. And he said, go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, Acts chapter 13 through 28 is the uttermost parts of the earth. Man, this is the thesis theme of the whole book. And Luke's laid it out for us. What's the thing, Dave? Be a witness. Where? Around the world. Here, there, and around the world. Just what we saw today in the video. And we're to be a part of that. We're to be a part of that. Well, our mission is his mission. Our power is his power. But lastly, I want you to see our future is his future. Verses 9 through 11. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Our future is his future. What a dramatic finish. Listen, these are Jesus' last words while he's here on this earth. How important are those things? And then all of a sudden, can you imagine there with the disciples and you see this cloud like the Shekinah glory of God that's coming down, and then Jesus ascends? Get the picture of them. What a moment. Heart pounding. Can you imagine that? And then they're standing there like this. Look, I mean, wouldn't you be too? And then all of a sudden, somebody's over here beside of you. It's two angels. He said, what are you doing looking up? Why are you looking up? What do you mean, why I'm looking up? He's coming back. He's coming back. That's what he's saying. You know, they're standing there. Why? He's going, but he's coming back again. Just a limited time to be about what he's called us to do. You know what they're trying to tell him? Get to work! That's what they're saying. Get to work. Why are you standing there looking? Get to work. What did he just tell you to do? Be a witness. The work of the church is to be a witness, to go out and take the gospel to a lost world. Jesus was our first and greatest witness, and he still is. And listen, he died on Calvary and they placed him in a grave, but he arose. He's not a dead God. He's a living Savior. And he makes a difference, and he's still saving souls. And we see here through the scriptures, he's ascended into heaven. What's he doing? He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for you and me if you're a child of God. He's sitting there, listen, if you don't know Christ, he's sitting there waiting with arms open and saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Search as you might with the world today. You might try to find satisfaction, but I'm telling you, this will be the only thing that brings it to you, and that's Christ. He's still saving souls. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's coming back. Praise God. He's gone to prepare a place for you. Coming back. This is our mission to do what? To be our to be his witness. Let me ask you this morning, we'll wind it up. How's your life? How is it? Let's be honest for God. How's your life? Is it still old bread? Say, what are you talking about? I'm woolly grubs. Yeah, I love Jesus. Praise God. Yeah, but I got this ache in my hip. I'm serious. Well, how is it? Is it still old bread? Is it just getting by? Or is there passion and purpose? Is there something to get up in the morning and say, yes, dear God, I'm going to this job that I feel like I'm going to bite nails if I have to go back, but I'm going in Jesus' name. Praise God. School kids in the morning, you can say, oh, Lord, the summertime's over. What happened to my summer? Mom, Dad said, praise the Lord. No. Listen, you can get up in the morning and say, I get to go to school. Why? I get to represent Jesus. I get to represent Jesus. And whatever I do, listen, it's better than a gold medal. Hello? Better than a gold medal. It's serving him with gladness, giving him our very best. His final words must come with resolve. We have got to do something. When he gives us this final word, we've got to do something with it. We can't just say, oh, that's really good to hear. Listen, we've got to do something with it. Why? Because it's the King. Cares of this world, if we're not careful, will steal it away from us. Steal it away. Listen to this. Commitment is the key to passion. Use it to be an ongoing missionary people. Listen, how's your passion? Commitment is the key to passion. How committed are you to the things of God? Let's just be honest. If you're committed, you've got passion. Why? Because you've got something the world cannot take away from you. It can steal everything else, but it can't steal your joy. It can't steal Christ from you. There's something, there's an anchor that's driven that it doesn't matter what storm comes, it holds. It holds. Our applications, it will be done. How is your passion for the things of Christ? Let's just be honest before the Lord. How's your passion for the things of Christ? Are you a witness for Christ? Are you a witness for him? Can people say, hey man, they know Jesus. Why? Because you live it out every day. lastly, what are we going to do in response to His mandate? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation, a time of response. And I'll call the baptismal candidates up here. We'll look at, what does it look like, Rick? Is it sprinkling? Well, just we'll play it. We'll go in here then. That's all right. I hate that for it. I know they want to do the river baptism, but we'll have it in here. But I want to give you a time to respond. It might be that, hey, this is your day. You might have came thinking, hey, I came to watch somebody be baptized. And you know what? It might be the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your life and say, you know, I just don't have Jesus Christ in my life. My focus, what I do, is completely off. I just make it, just go through life. I'm trying to find purpose. I'm a searcher. I'm looking for purpose in this world. And I can't find satisfaction. You know, they always feel like the grass is greener over here. I need to do this. I need to do that. It could be that's what you're doing. Listen, all you need to do is give it to Jesus Christ, okay? Confess your sin, repent, come to Him and say, I receive Christ as my Savior today. Maybe you're carrying a heavy load. You know, you're saying, hey, you know what? I'm just really off kilter bad. I need to come to the Lord, whether physical, financial, whatever it is. I just need to say, you know what, Lord? I'm laying this down at your feet today. No longer am I going to get my focus off of the things of God, but I'm just laying it down. It could be that God's calling somebody into ministry. Hey, it could be that you've struggled with it and you're thinking, oh, I'm so glad He's not talked about that. Now we're talking about it. It could be that you know, if it did, your heart just skipped a beat, by the way. It could be He's calling you into a service to Him. By the way, we're all in full-time ministry, but it could be a vocational call that He's calling you into. When they start singing, don't hesitate. I'm going to give just a few minutes, and then I'll call our baptismal candidates up. We'll have baptism. Brittany. Small. Out of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. What about you? Do you need to pray? Do you just need to come and say, you know what, Lord, I need to lay this down today? Maybe you don't know Christ. Don't put it off. Maybe you've heard something. You say, well, you know, Satan's telling you, oh, you need to do this, you need that. Don't listen to Satan. You just follow him in obedience. He can change a leper spot. You're looking at one right here. A leper. A sinner. If He can save me, He can save anybody in this room today. I promise you that. I'm going to give it just another minute because God's doing a work here. People are coming. Those that are going to be baptized, come forward, please. You come on up too, Jenny. Guys, I want you to know something. This Remember what we said about Vacation Bible School? A lot of this is the results of Vacation Bible School, okay? Are you guys at work? Different ones. I know Rain was at one at Meat Camp. And listen, that's what it's about, is these young people coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so we got Rain and Connor and Eva and Hannah that are going to be baptized today. And they're going to become members. And Jenny's going to become a member. She's moving her letter from church, so she's coming by letter. The rest of them are coming by baptism. What's the pleasure of the church? Amen. Well, we'll go back here and be baptized then. Let's go get set up, guys. Calm down here. Sit facing that way. Just turn back around like this. It's Connor Monday. Listen, Connor, Vacation Bible School, John chapter 3, about Nicodemus. You'll never forget that, will you, buddy? He told me, he said, I sit down and talk to every one of these young people, make sure that their commitment is sure, as I can anyway. He said, you know, when I heard him talk about Nicodemus and being born again, it said he realized that God spoke to him and said, you know, that was me and I needed that. What a great testimony. And childlike words. Aren't you glad that God's still in the saving business? Connor, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Well, then by that testimony, my brother, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Eva told me, she said, you know what? I went in and spoke to her, sit down with her in the room back here, one of our small rooms downstairs. And Eva talked about, she said, I need the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. And I asked her, and she said, I'm a sinner. I've done bad things, and I need Christ to forgive me of my sin. Is that not a great testimony, just a childlike faith? And so I told her, I said, Eva, that's a great thing. She prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Walked her through the Scripture. I told her, I don't want you to see it in my words, but what the Lord's Word said. And so she's coming today to make her public testimony of what's happened to her. Eva, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I baptize you then, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hannah, the Lord's been dealing with her for quite some time now, hadn't he, Hannah? She's talked to me several times, and she told Lee at the youth camp, she said, I'm ready to be baptized. I went up to her house, went up to Holly's, and sat down and talked to her. And she has received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, and she said, I want to be baptized to show the whole world what's happened to me. And so, Hannah, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? By that testimony, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Turn around. There you go. Rain. The Lord's been dealing with Rain for some time now, too. I went up to Debbie's and sat down and talked to her. She realized she's a sinner and needs the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And that was her testimony. And you know what? She's 7 years old. And I thought, I want you to know something today. God can save kids at 7 years old. One of the godliest women I know got saved at 4 years old and was able to testify about, Miss Elaine, was able to testify about that. So I'm excited about what God's going to do in Rain's life. And so, Rain, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? By that testimony, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good job. Lee, you close us in prayer, and I'll go back and visit with everybody.